Good morning and welcome to the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour. I'm your host, Bryce Hudson, and as usual, every Wednesday, we talk a little bit about Texas dairy with Mr. Mike Scouten out at Mission Dairy outside of Hereford, Texas. How are you doing today, Mike?
Bryce, I'm doing wonderful. Getting ready for the big 4th of July weekend coming up. Hoping that folks will put a little extra cheese and have a little bit of extra ice cream when they enjoy themselves this weekend.
Because I know I will. And you know, as usual, we always talk a little bit about what's happening with the dairy industry with some reports. And we always start off with some blocks and barrels. How are we turning out today, Mike?
Well, it looks like midday Monday what we saw was that block cheese closed at $2.09 per pound, unchanged, no lots traded. Kind of quiet on the market. We saw that barrel cheese closed at $2.14 and a quarter per pound, down a half a penny with no lots being traded. We saw that butter closed at $2.91 per pound, and that was down a half a penny with two lots being traded. Non-fat dry milk closed at $1.78 per pound, and that was down a penny with one lot being traded. And then dry whey closed at 50 cents per pound, up 2.5 cents with one lot being traded.
Now, you know, last week we mentioned it briefly about, you know, a new report coming out just when we were talking. We've got the May milk production, which is a big report for us to always talk about. How did that turn out for May?
You're right, Bryce. This is one of my favorite reports. Always interested in seeing which states are gaining in production and what that means to their manufacturing. So as we usually do, we start with the losers first. We saw that Arizona was down 1.6%. California was the number one dairy state, was down 1.7%, gaining 3,000 cows, but losing 40 pounds per cow in production. We saw that Colorado lost 2,000 cows and was down 1%. Florida was down 12%, losing 13,000 cows. So pretty big loss in Florida as far as cow numbers. Idaho was down 0.3%, losing 1,000 cows. Illinois was down 1.9%, losing 3,000 cows. We had Indiana down 4.2%, and they lost close to 9,000 cows. Kansas was down 0.3%, losing 3,000 cows. We had Michigan down 1.7%, and they lost right at about 18,000 cows. So pretty big drop there. Wow. In Michigan. Minnesota was also down 1%. Losing right at 9,000 cows. Ohio was down 1.8%, losing 9,000 cows. We saw that Pennsylvania was down 1.1%, losing right at 8,000 cows. Utah was down 3%, losing 3,000 cows. And we saw that the state of Washington was down 6.4%, losing 14,000 cows. So some quite large losses on some of those downside dairy states. So we had very few dairy states that were up, but we did see that Georgia was continuing to increase its production by gaining 11.6% and right at 9,000 cows. Iowa was down, up 3.1%. gaining right at 4,000 cows. We had Oregon up 1.3%, gaining 2,000 cows. South Dakota, last month's Golden Milk Can Award winner, was up 15.1%, gaining right at 23,000 cows. So very big gain in South Dakota. And then the number two dairy state, Wisconsin, was up 0.8%, and they lost 1,000 cows, but gained 20 pounds per cow in production. When we look at our states of local concern, we see that the losing trend over in New Mexico still continues on. They are down 10.5% and lost right around 8,000 cows. And then our home state of Texas still holding fairly strong, up 5.8% and gaining right at 21,000 cows. So still holding pretty steady in cow numbers and production here in the state of Texas.
So, Mike, I got to ask, you know, with some of these losing states, you know, some of the big milk-producing, you know, states out there, is that really going to make a huge impact when we're losing those calves or we're losing in a lot of percentage on the markets, how much pricing is going on in dairy products for consumers out there going to the grocery store? Does it make a huge influx on pricing or no?
I think right now, as the current market stands, it does. And as everyone knows, both in the beef market and the dairy market, replacement cattle are down. So it's been expensive on the input side for feeding these cattle. So the minimum amount of replacement cattle are out there in inventory. So as you see cattle getting lost, it's going to be extremely difficult to replace those cows at this moment. Now, that's not saying it won't be true in the future, but at this point, it's very difficult to replace those animals. So, yeah, I think you're correct. To see that milk coming right back to the market would have to take two major changes, replacement herd growth as well as input cost reduction. So we'll kind of keep our eyes on that, and hopefully we'll have an answer for that question. But it is a conundrum at this point.
Well, and, you know, also talking about kind of what's happening at the grocery store, we always talk a little bit once a month or twice a month about our cold storage report that has a lot of cold products that we use on a daily basis. How's that looking like?
Well, cold storage, kind of a tale of two cities here. We American, on the American cheese side, it was kind of a bullish report. We saw American type cheese was up 3.6% year over year. And up 2.6% or 22 million pounds from the April numbers. And that compares to a five-year average that normally sees an increase of only 5.2 million pounds. So pretty much a huge increase over on that type of cheese. When we look at all other cheeses, they were up 3.3% year over year and up 1% or 7 million pounds from the April numbers. And that compares to the five-year average that normally shows the month-to-month a decrease of about 1 million pounds. So a 6 million pound swing on that one, 8 million pound swing on that one, excuse me. Total cheeses were up 3.7% year over year and up 2% or 31 million pounds from the April numbers. And that compares to a five-year average that normally sees an increase of only 3.7 million. So almost a 10x increase on cheese in cold storage. So usually that means that manufacturing has increased or demand has decreased. So we'll be keeping our eye on that one. Over on the butter, it's a different story, though. We saw that it was down 22% year over year and up 8% or 23 million pounds from the April numbers. And that compares to a five-year average that normally sees a month-to-month increase of about 21 million pounds. So fairly tight to the five-year average on the butter side.
Now, we always dive in every week and talk a little bit about the class threes and fours. What is that panning out for us?
Well, what we're seeing right now at the CME is that the June is trading at a 24.33. We've got the July trading at a 22.51. August is trading at a 23.16, and September finishes out the third quarter at 23.47. And going into the fourth quarter, we're seeing October open up at a 23.40 and finish up in December at 22.70. And as we move into the first quarter of 2023, we're seeing January open up at $22 and finish up in March at 21.29. So fairly good pricing, but yet need to see a relief over on the input side to help that Class 3 side out. Class 4 still holding fairly strong across the top of the market. We're seeing the June trade at a 25.85. We've got the July trading at a 25.51. August trading at 24.88. September trading at 24.70. Going into the fourth quarter, we've got October opening up at 24.65 and December finishing up at 23.70. And then going into the first quarter of 2023, we've got January opening up the Class 4 at $23 and March finishing up the first quarter at 21.80. So fairly good numbers for most of the Class 4 straight across the board.
Well, next week when we talk Texas dairy, and we're going to be wrapping up the month of June, starting into the hot month of July, what reports are we going to see next week on Texas dairy?
We'll be looking at the dairy products report and seeing how much manufacturing really occurred in some states where it dropped off because of the milk production dropped off as well. And then the other side of that is hopefully we'll have an early enough report that comes out that we can look at exports and imports as well so that we can see where we're comparing as far as getting products out into the world and what some of those prices might be.
Well, Mike, it's always a pleasure to talk about Texas dairy and getting to know what's happening in the dairy industry, and we'll catch you next week.
Looking forward to it. I want to wish everybody a happy and safe 4th of July, and certainly enjoy your dairy products going into the weekend. Thank you.
Well, that's it from us here at the KGNC studios. Remember, all interviews can be found at kgncnewsnow.com. And if you want some more agricultural information or some more personal stories, go to Pasture to Pavement, Agriculture, the Original Innovators. I just dropped a new episode with the North American Limousine Foundation and the executive director, Mark Anderson, and we talk about the limousine breed as well as some of those big headlines with the beef cattle industry as well as feedlots that have reached some national media outlets like CNN and Fox, talking a lot about feedlots. So if you want to take a listen, go to the KGNCNewsNow.com, our Facebook page, Instagram, but more importantly, just take a listen on Spotify. If you want something more to listen to on the road, or if you want to listen to something on the tractor, go for it and take a listen to Pasture to Pavement, Agriculture, the Original Innovators. But for now, I'm your host, Bryce Hudson, signing off. You have a great and blessed rest of your Wednesday morning.